Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Let me begin today's podcast by admitting that today's topic may be, one step removed from why most of us are involved in photography. I suspect that most of you are like me, that we do photography because it's fun, because we can't not do photography, because we're compelled to do it, because we do it regardless of any reward or zero reward. We do it because it entertains us, because it's part of our life, because it's part of our self-identity, because it's a fascinating way to explore the world. That is to say, we have all kinds of reasons for being involved in photography that don't have anything to do with pleasing an audience. Some of us might want to sell work, but then there's a lot of photographers who could care less about selling work. So in that regard, audience response is unimportant. Sure, we all like to have the applause, the compliment, but it's not the reason we do photography. It's the icing on the cake. And perhaps that's exactly as it should be. Nonetheless, we have some kind of relationship with an audience, particularly when we show work in a gallery opening scenario and we're there and there's our work on the wall and some people show up and look at the work and have conversation with us. And I'm fascinated with the responses I hear when people look at my work. A little side story. When I was in my early 20s, I worked for a big retailer called Fred Meyer. And Mr. Meyer, the guy who owned the company, who was in his 80s, I think, used to occasionally come out into the retail stores. I was working behind the camera counter selling cameras. And he would gather up a bunch of customers and take them to lunch. His treat, the purpose of which was to get feedback from actual customers in the store. And one day he did that in the store where I happened to work, and he grabbed me and said, "I want you to come with me, bring a pad of paper and a pencil, and we're going to go over to the restaurant, and I'm going to sit down with a half dozen customers and ask them what we could do to improve our store. And you're going to be the note taker." I said, "Fine, you know, this is Mr. Meyer. I mean, my God, what am I going to say? No." So I went with him over to the restaurant, and he said before we got there, "So you're going to take notes, and I'm going to ask them what we can do to improve our store." He said, "And the first thing that they're going to say is, lower your prices." And when people say, "Lower the prices," he said, "I want you to take that down like you've never heard that idea before, like it's brand new, like it's a revelation that no one has ever said before. Make those notes furiously, and that's okay. That's just to get them warmed up," he said. So I did, someone said, "Lower your prices," and I wrote a bunch of stuff down on my pad of paper as though it was the greatest and most novel idea we'd ever heard. Well, curiously enough, not long after that, someone said, "You know, what would really be nice is if you were to put a chair or two, a place to sit next to the pharmacy so that when we're waiting to get our prescriptions refilled, we don't have to stand. We can relax a little bit." And particularly because this person was elderly, they had a cane, and Mr. Meyer thought that was a fabulous idea, and he looked at me and said, "Write that one down," which I did. And within 24 hours, we had places to sit in every one of the 73 locations that Fred Meyer had at that time when I was working with them. And I learned something fascinating about listening to what people say. Not that everything they offer is equally important, but if we listen long enough, and particularly if we try to listen between the lines, we'll often hear something that is important that we can use to improve whatever it is we're doing, whether it's a retail store like Fred Meyer or our own photography. So I'm always fascinated when I get a chance to talk to people and they're looking at my work. And one of the things that I've noticed with absolute consistency over the years that is very interesting to me has to do with what I do not include in the work that I put up on the wall. Lots and lots of photographers will title their work, Nothing wrong with that. That's a good idea. And can be particularly important in a book or a publication. But gallery prints on the wall often don't have titles, or if they do, they can be really dumb titles, because it's hard to think of a good title for a piece of artwork other than the standard, which would typically be the location and the date. And that paradigm is so powerful in the world of photography that when I don't include the location and the date on my images when they're matted and framed and on the wall, this often generates questions, but rarely more than the two biggies. What is it and where is it? Most photographers, if they do title their work, they include where it was photographed and when it was photographed, but no one ever asks about when it was photographed. That's just not a question that comes up when there is no title on the work. But many, many times people will ask what it is that they're seeing, particularly with an abstract or something that's not obvious. And they almost always ask where I photographed it. And I find that fascinating. Would you go to a painting and ask what it is and where it was painted? Do you ask of a novel where the author wrote it? Or even a TV show. Occasionally, if the scenery is spectacular, you might be curious about where it was filmed. But that's not important to the plot. It may be important to the fact that you just appreciate the landscape that you're seeing in the movie. But fascinatingly enough, I can't remember anyone ever asking me why I photographed that scene, or photographed it in that particular way, or chose that photograph as one of the ones that I particularly enjoyed and wanted to include in the exhibition, or what that photograph has to do with the rest of the images. Or, as far as that goes, when I put a group of images up on display, no one ever asks about the group and says, what are you trying to get at here? What does this body of work say in unison? No, but they look at individual images and say, what is that? And or, where did you photograph this? That in itself fascinates me. The fact that that's the only two questions that they think to ask. Is that something about the way we've trained people to look at photographs? Is it because that's the important data when they make their own photographs, because they're making memories on vacation or something? In which case, what, when, and where are the three questions that identify that particular vacation or something? But there's an even more fascinating part about this business, and that is that, curiously enough, once I answer what or where, they almost immediately move to the next image, as though somehow answering the question what and where provides all the information that they need to decipher what's behind that photograph, or the meaning behind the photograph, or why I put it there. It never dawns on anybody then to ask those follow-up questions, why did you photograph it, etc. They just move to the next image, and guess what? The next image, what do they ask? What and where? And as I say, every once in a while, when? I find this fascinating. I find it puzzling. Why is it that that's the only information that people think they need to have in order to understand what a photograph is trying to communicate? What I'm trying to do with my photography as an artist, why do they think that that is completely answered as soon as they know what it is that's photographed, where it is, and optionally, when it was photographed? The fact that that's the only information they need to know, what does that tell us? What does that tell us about societal norms, about the way people are trained to see a photograph? Does it say something about my artwork? Is my experience unique here? Or does it say something about them as viewers of artwork, that that's the limit of their depths to understand a photograph? I first got onto this idea fairly early in my photographic life when I bumped into the work of Minor White. Minor White was a very interesting character in that regard, and sort of is the opposite end of the spectrum of the F-64 group. The F-64 group was all about straight photography. Just show the thing, and it's all about the thing. And through their photographs, they were trying to be as straightforward and as perfectly descriptive as they could be without words. And Minor White grew up in that tradition, but left it at some point in time. Minor White, of course, is sort of known as the ersatz Zen guru of photography. Maybe it was his mysticism that got him involved in thinking differently about photographs. But he's, of course, famous for saying, don't photograph what it is, photograph what else it is, to introducing the idea of metaphor. Well, if a photograph has metaphor to it, doesn't it make sense that the question what it is and where it is are absolutely non sequitur? The only question that counts then is, what is the metaphor that we understand when looking at this photograph? What do we think of when we look at it? What is it associated with? What does it remind us of? What are the connections, the deeper connections, that are brought forth when we look at a photograph? And somehow, the location and the date and the fact that it's this rock or that tree or this river or this national park becomes sort of non sequitur, doesn't it? Anyway, I'm just fascinated about the what and where question and the lack of why and deeper understanding. And I think it's one of the great challenges that we have in our generation of photographers is that we are, to some degree, if we're interested in photographing what else it is, we're fighting a cultural norm that says all we need to know is what and where, and we have everything we need to decipher a photograph. And that is such an incredible limitation when it comes to artistic expression in photography that I think it's one of our great challenges. How do we move the audience beyond what and where? Because you see, the what and where question is, in my way of thinking anyway, rooted in the paradigm that the camera is a transportation device. It transports us through time and space to see something that we haven't actually seen and to go somewhere where we haven't actually been. But photography creates the myth that we've done so and that by looking at the photograph, we can essentially see the world through the photographer's eyes, that through their craftsmanship and wonderful artistic sensibilities, we've been transported through space and time to have armchair experiences rather than actually going there and seeing it for ourselves. The hidden, unknown premise behind what and where is that photography's modus operandi is that of transportation device through space and time. But what if we choose to use photography to represent metaphors, to ask questions, to present mysteries, to explore the world not for the answers that photography can provide, but for the questions it can bring forth, for the mysteries it might be able to unravel? I think back to the history of painting. If we go to Bierstadt and that group of people, it was all realistic. And the purpose of the painting was to transport us through time and space to see something that happened 100 years ago or in the painter's imagination. But how does that pertain to Mondrian, to Picasso, even to the Impressionists? And certainly to the modern painters like Jackson Pollock or Andy Warhol. They didn't use the craft of painting to transport people, but to bring them face to face with something else, something internal, something mysterious, something that requires effort to unravel. We can do that with photography, but it appears as though we might be, 75 or 100 years later in history than we see in the evolution of painting. I don't know. I get in way too deep with this kind of analysis because I don't understand enough about art history to really think this through. But I do know that it's curious that the only information people seem to want and think are important are what, where, and occasionally when. Those questions sort of let us off the hook to some degree as creators, because why we photograph something, that's a hard thing to answer. Oftentimes, we're not even sure ourselves, or why we chose to process an image in a certain way, because we may be working on it in a subconscious way. But the fact that those are the dominant questions, and oftentimes when photographers present their work, that's the dominant information we offer, what, where, and when. Perhaps that's an indication of the state of photography and our relationship to the kind of images we make. And perhaps that's okay for you and for the kind of photography that you want to do. But perhaps it's also a limitation that all of us as photographers don't have to be stuck with. There are more interesting questions to ask about a photograph than what it is or where and when it was photographed. It's those other questions that fascinate me. And when I'm surprised because someone asks me that kind of question, it's always an indication to me that they've engaged my artwork more meaningfully than just camera as Xerox copy machine.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.